You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
Welcome in to a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here at KGYM. Baseball postseason is underway. We'll talk about that. Cal Eldred will join us on the program today. We will talk with Cal now on a weekly basis throughout the baseball playoffs. Looking forward to that. Wild cards are underway. Game number one of the best of three between Texas and Tampa going on as we speak. Twins and the Jays will get underway here in just a little bit. And then the National League games will come up tonight, including the game that we will have for you. We will join it in progress early in the ball game, just past 8 o'clock, as it will be Miami and Philadelphia in game one from the City of Brotherly Love and Citizens Bank Ballpark up there. That will get underway at 7:08, so we'll join about 55 minutes into the proceedings tonight, right after the Cyclone Coaches Show, which will come your way from 6:30 until 8 o'clock. And then tomorrow night, we will have in its entirety, game number two between the Milwaukee Brewers and the Arizona Diamondbacks. We'll join the coverage at 6 o'clock, the pregame show, and 6:08 will be the first pitches. So you are doubling up on the series on how they run things as far as the wild cards are concerned. We'll talk about that. Kirk Ferentz, Matt Campbell meeting the media today. Big announcement that we got wind of yesterday. All that and more coming up on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM, presented by Tupaco Community Credit Union. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to tupaco.com. We'll have an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update for you as well, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. That'll be coming up on the program in about 20, 25 minutes or so. Text line available to you at 319-366-1600. Love to hear from our listeners out there. Again, that is 319-366-1600. That is our phone line as well here on a Tuesday in Eastern Iowa. Scott Unash with you. Andrew on the other side of the glass. Afternoon. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Excited for baseball? Are you a baseball guy?
Not really.
Okay. Can we make you into a postseason baseball guy?
Possibly by the end of the month, maybe. But I don't know, after just a couple hours.
We'll work on it.
Yeah.
We'll work on it. It'll be our quest and our goal for the month of October.
Yes.
To make you a baseball guy. Mark Dukes from his back porch in the southwest side. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Scott. Good afternoon to you and Andrew and everyone out there. And I don't know about you, but this reminds me of the old school days when a great teacher would bring in his or her TV. Or we'd have little transistor radios. People out there, you probably don't know what transistor radios are.
Oh, Mark and I do.
they were a thing. Just to watch or listen to playoff baseball.
I must admit, and if you did that out there, love to hear your story. 319-366-1600. How many of you in the day brought your – or tried – you tried to hide your transistor radio, a little earpiece, not the fancy things they have right now, Mark, but these were, honest to goodness, you had to turn your head, make sure you were really involved in the discussion, what is going on, you know, in math class or history class or whatever the case may be, so that the teacher didn't have the angle to see the one ear earpiece that you were hiding, trying to listen to your team in the playoffs, if your team did indeed make the playoffs. So fun times, though. You know what? Those are great memories.
Those are a little bit more primitive than what you have at your disposal today. But, yeah, especially so if your team is involved and, That was the day where most of the games were in the afternoon. We've got two afternoon games today, two at night. So if your favorite team plays tonight, you don't have to worry about it.
I'm getting some memories going today. They're in the bottom of the fourth right now between Tampa and Texas. The Rangers are holding a 1-0 lead right now against the Devil Rays, by the way, today. Tampa is wearing their throwback Devil Ray uniforms today in front of a, by the way, if you still have time and the means to do so, plenty of good seats are available at the Trop today for game number one. I don't understand it because I think this is the best of the four series. We'll get Cal's opinion on it. But, yeah, we know Tampa doesn't usually pack them in, and they certainly are not packing them in on a Tuesday afternoon in the Tampa St. Pete Metroplex here today. ABC is carrying this game. This is bringing back the bygone memories of Monday Night Baseball here, Mark. All we need is the spirit of Howard Cosell and Keith Jackson to come back and call this game.
I suppose Toronto and Minnesota get underway in about 30 minutes, and that'll be on ESPN, and you've outlined our radio schedule. But really looking forward to talking on Cal Eldred and this Texas-Tampa Bay series. I thought would be high scoring. It is not right now. Pitching is lacking for both. But we'll see what our expert has to say.
Yeah, we'll grade them out, see our picks are in all of these wild card series. We did so darn well during the regular season. In fact, I will go get the evidence to that coming up here in just a little bit. I remember what team I took in the American League Central. That didn't work. 319-366-1600. Kirk Ferentz meeting the media today in Iowa City and led things off. Actually, the players kind of let us in on the worst kept secret in Iowa City, but then Kirk affirmed it to start off his news conference today, Mark. Cade McNamara with a torn ACL. It is a clean tear for your medicos out there. So he said that is better news than a messy tear. But he is going to be out for the year. Was asked if Cade McNamara has put any thought into returning next year to be the quarterback in 2024 for the Iowa Hawkeyes. And Kirk was optimistic as to Cade coming back, a healthy Cade McNamara, and trying to lead this team in 2024. But it will not be number 12 under center or behind the center for the rest of the year.
Now, David Eichel at 24/7 Sports talked to Brandon Heinrichs of the Swarm Collective, who had talked to Cade's dad and reported long before Kirk's news conference that Cade is going to return next year. Kirk kind of confirmed that, but not, in my mind, 100%. But I don't watch a lot of the Kirk Tuesday news conferences in their entirety. But I was interested today for some reason what the head coach had to say. I thought there was just an excessive number of questions about Cade McNamara, Deacon Hill, Cade McNamara, yep. On and on and on. And we know where we're at right now.
Spencer and I were talking about that in the sports office before coming in here. Half the questions.
Everybody trying to, maybe get a leg up and learn something new about Deacon Hill. Eichel did ask LaShawn Williams, Iowa's running back, about Caleb Johnson, who was number one at the beginning of the season, and said Johnson is back at practice and looked very good. Kirk Ferentz asked about that. He said, yeah, he's back at practice, working hard. We'll see how things go.
Yeah, Jazz will not play this week, but as you mentioned, Iowa's other top-flight running back is back, so that is good news. Did talk a little bit about the defense for Purdue. Ryan Walters had some nice things to say about the young first-year Purdue coach, the former defensive coordinator at both Missouri and at Illinois. Iowa never got to face Ryan Walters' Missouri defense because, if you recall, that bowl game, the matchup between Mizzou and Iowa was canceled due to COVID back in the day. Then went to work for Brett Bielema, has brought a lot of that mentality over to West Lafayette. It's a different Purdue team, but a similar Purdue team, if that makes any sense, Mark. Because, I mean, we're used to basketball on grass for Joe Tiller and Drew Brees and Purdue through the years. To a certain extent, did that with Brohm the last few years, but this is a Purdue team that's a lot more centered, and a Purdue program that I know Ryan Walters wants to make a lot more balanced between the offense and the defense. With that being said, they still have a very good multi-purpose quarterback that Iowa is going to have to deal with, and multi-purpose quarterbacks, guys that can run, have given the Hawks fits over the years, as we know. And Purdue has given Iowa fits over the years, as we know. And five-man front, 17 sacks the Purdue defense has registered this year. You put that together with an Iowa offensive line that has at times been good, at times has been shaky this year and in the past year. This is going to be a tough ball game for homecoming on Saturday.
I think so, too. And the quarterback you speak of is Hudson Card, who got playing time at Texas. Again, he's a multidimensional quarterback. And the saving grace is there's no David Bell to terrorize Iowa's secondary, as he did for three seasons. They do have some capable receivers. And I thought it was a bit odd. No one asked, at least I know of, about Purdue's leading rusher.
Yeah.
That would be Iowa transfer Tyrone Tracy.
Tyrone Tracy, yeah. As a rusher, by the way, Jay Higgins was asked about tackling Tyrone Tracy, though, earlier in the day. By the way, Spencer will have audio from Kirk Ferentz and the players working on that now. Spencer on sports from 4 until 6, so you'll get your fill on what Kirk had to say and the players today down in Iowa City. But Jay Higgins, the Iowa middle linebacker, Tyrone Tracy, both growing up in Indianapolis. They've known each other since the first grade, and he had some very interesting things to say today about potentially tackling Tyrone Tracy. So tune in at 4 to hear those. Tune in.
Yeah, it's an interesting move. Tracy was a right wide receiver up until this year, and now he had a terrific game against Illinois. And frankly, Scott, that lopsided Purdue win over Illinois opened my eyes a bit more than they usually are. That was a good, solid victory over an Illinois team that just not living up to what some of us expected, but Purdue's beginning to put things together, and it's going to be a tough assignment Saturday.
It is. 319-366-1600 is the text line. You want to weigh in on Purdue and Iowa, what Kirk Ferentz had to say today, injury situation, etc., or taking transistor radios to math class to listen to playoff baseball. Any of those are on the table here today. Again, 319-366-1600. As Cooper DeJean's name brought up as well. In fact, Cooper was asked point blank today, would you like to play on the offensive side of the football? I think he gave a very good answer. He said, I am not the coach. I am not the one that calls plays. Would he be open to it? Yeah. He said, sure. Sure. He goes, I don't know. He did, paraphrasing what he had to say, kind of came up with the fact I don't think I can do it for 120 plays a game like Hunter of Colorado, but sure, I'd be up to it if the coaches say they want to bring in some things on the offensive side, which, of course, got everybody's engine revved up out there in Twitterland and in the Hawkeye stratosphere.
On the news conference, Kirk Ferentz poured cold water on that idea in my mind, just listening to what he had to say about the ups and downs of doing something like that. Who's the last two-way player at Iowa?
Oh, boy.
Help us, listeners. Last two-way player at Iowa.
319-366-1600.
Kirk said Micah Hyde would have been a heck of a wide receiver. But he, like DeGene, was a terrific defensive back and a punt returner. So they decided not to go down that road. I'll tell you, first thought is I don't know if I was had a two-way player. Maybe, wasn't there a guy named Washington back in the day who played both offensive and defensive lines? That's some of the cobwebs are coming off there.
That would be even more unusual as far as a lineman is concerned. Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember one off the top of my head, but our listeners are great. And if you know of one out there, let us know. Let us in on it at 319-366-1600. 2373 letting us know, no memories from elementary school, but I'm listening right now on a transistor. Yes, it's ancient. I love it. Now, are you listening to us or are you listening to the ball game? There you go. 41-81, statistically, Iowa has the worst offense in the nation. Can losing Cade possibly make it worse? Doubt it. Among the many, many quarterback questions asked of Kirk Ferentz today, Mark, was, is the playbook more open with a healthy Deacon Hill who can run the football? And kind of gave a Kirkian answer a little bit, but reading between the lines, yes, the playbook is more open because you have a mobile quarterback and you have a quarterback that is completely healthy out there.
Well, as we said yesterday, the quarterback sneak is now in play. And with a big, rugged quarterback, you'd think that'd be successful on fourth and one or less most times. And then the rollout, I think, is more in play now. I guess we'll have to see. The sample size on Deacon Hill is three quarters of playing time right now. We'll see how and if the playbook might expand or change or whatnot. I don't expect it to change a great deal, but I think at least in a couple areas it benefits Iowa to have Deacon Hill under center. And yes, Niall Kinnick played both ways, but my goodness, that's going back a long time.
That's going back quite a ways.
Lester Washington, help me out. I know there has been in the last 30 or 40 years.
1345 says, can't remember names, but I believe Iowa used some D linemen to catch a two-point conversion. And Nate Stanley would punt the ball sometimes, so that counts? I don't know. I think it's more of a guy that can play several plays on the defensive side of things. Tim, we've had a couple people say Tim Dwight did play DB a few plays. And I thought the first person I thought of was Tim Dwight. I was trying to remember if he did play defense. And I know the listeners are right. I think he did get in a few times defensively. And he did that at City High, too. Played, of course, obviously played tailback. And then he did play D-back. He ran back kicks. He ran back punts. I still remember a game I called at Kingston Stadium where Dwight scored on a punt return, a kick return, a return of an interception, and several running touchdowns. So he could
then all in the first half.
That may have been, Mark. I don't want to bring up bad memories.
I was there, but it was brutal.
Yeah, I don't want to bring up bad memories. And I think it was a homecoming, too. 319-366-1600. 2794 says, at my transistor radio in class when Bill Mazeroski hit the home run to beat the Yankees in the World Series. Did you let on that there was a home run when he hit? Or did you downplay it if you were a Pirate fan? Probably was a Yankee fan. I don't know if there were a lot of Pirate fans back then here in Eastern Iowa. Now, 6882 with a different take on this. He said there is no reason to play Cooper on offense. They don't use the guys they have to their best potential. What makes you think they'll use Cooper to the best of his ability? You'd have to do it. I think it's possible, but you'd have to do it, like we talked about yesterday, in a very, very unique way. I don't think you want to put him out there as a wildcat running back, because that is just inviting. That is just inviting people to level your All-American defensive back more than he's already going to get hit as a punt returner. I don't know. We'll see.
I think it's a fair point, and I can see it both ways, but I'm leaning towards some kind of package with him out on the field on offense. Don't believe I'll see it, but I'm leaning that way.
Yeah. 2-0, Texas is taking a lead on Tampa, one out, second and third, I believe, right now, if I'm looking correctly, that down at the Trop in Tampa. Darren says, doesn't Cooper already have more touchdowns than the wide receivers do? Leave him where he is at. And the answer to our question from 2794, Mark, he quietly celebrated because I was not a Yankee fan and the teacher was not a sports fan. 319-366-1600. Our friend Brad letting us know Leroy Smith came in as an offensive player and was converted to defense. That happened actually several times. We don't get that as much in Iowa City as we used to, Mark. Hayden Fry and I think to a certain extent Kirk Ferentz in the early and midpoint of his era in Iowa City loved to bring in athletes and just put them wherever they could. Wherever they fit on the football team. We're not getting that as much anymore.
Well, I don't count guys like Tyler Linderbaum, who started on defense, moved to the offensive side of things. I'm talking about in the same game, playing both offense and defense. And I think the recollection of Tim Dwight is correct.
He didn't do it very much, though. He did not play defensive back very much.
No.
Yeah, perfect example, Darren says, of Jared DeVries. He was an All-State running back and an All-Big 10 defensive end. There are a couple guys coming in this year for Iowa that they're kind of up in the air yet as where they are going to play. That, of course, is Weisskopf from Williamsburg and Reese from Monticello. Those two guys are playing everywhere right now for those two teams, and they're going to have to fit in somewhere at a position when they get down to Iowa City next year. Still a long ways off, but that's kind of the example of what used to happen, I think, a little bit more as far as the Iowa system is concerned. Hey, let's get to Ames and what Matt Campbell had to say before we get to an Emil Sideway scoreboard update here in just a little bit. Matt Campbell talking about the game coming up against TCU. That is the Jack Trice throwback game. Those very unique uniforms are going to be worn. In fact, the band is even coming out with different things. So, yeah, it's going to be a big celebration coming up on Saturday. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have it for you at 5 o'clock right here on KGYM. And talked about stopping the big play. concerned Matt Campbell was. Anyway, Oklahoma. Now it is Oklahoma. Keep that in mind. But says Iowa State's got to get better at stopping the big plays and is concerned a little bit about the way the defense has played in the last couple of weeks against Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. And TCU is not the TCU of a year ago with Max Duggan back there. They've got a couple of losses, two or three losses on the season, but it is still a very, very good football program that's coming in on Saturday night and a pretty big game for both teams.
Yeah, without a doubt. Matt Campbell saying he's really happy to have Gary Vaughn back. You think about it, Iowa State is a very young football team, and a lot of the defensive guys are very young, and to have a veteran back like that, even though he may not be 100%, that's got to be a positive. But I think another Iowa State and an underdog at home, and I expect it to be a pretty good football game.
I would agree. A couple more here before we get to your Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update, Mark. 57-11 reminds us Lon Olenzak from Decorah, tight end and a kicker back in the day. We had a caller call in to Andrew talking about Mark Sindlinger. Now, he was a wrestler and a football player, much like what Ben Keeter is trying to accomplish right now. Although Ben is more wrestler than football player, I believe, these days, getting ready for the wrestling season, where it sounds as though he's going to make a very early debut for Tom Brands and the Iowa Hawkeyes. But there have been those. We know that over the years. All right, 3:31, Mark. Let's get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's. They're on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, crossing the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. What do we have?
First playoff game underway. Texas, the fifth seed, leading Tampa Bay, the fourth seed, 2-0, bottom of the fifth inning, coming up very shortly, less than 10 minutes. Toronto is at Minnesota. Tonight's games include Arizona at Milwaukee and Miami and Philadelphia. They determined Boys State Golf qualifiers yesterday. And team-wise, Iowa City West, Xavier, and Iowa City High, all qualified teams for the event, which is this coming weekend at Otter Creek in Ankeny. Qualifying individually were defending state champion Reed Hall of Cedar Rapids Kennedy, in addition to Henry Sobeski of Prairie and Christopher Cloyd of Linmar. And finally, there's continuing news out of Paris as that city prepares for the Olympic Games next year. Got problems, Scott.
Uh-oh.
Not with infrastructure or any of that, but there apparently is an infestation of bed bugs in Paris.
I thought the baguette or whatever, the French bread that Peyton Manning was flying around was not going to be ready to go.
Bring your own air mattress if you're going to.
Well, they've got a long time. They can improve on that. Also, of course, the big announcement today at the state capitol. It is true. NASCAR is coming to Iowa and the Iowa Speedway. It will be Sunday, June 16th, 2024. Rusty Wallace was there. Brad Keselowski was there today for the announcement. It is going to be a night race, a Sunday night race, interestingly enough. And you and I were talking about this earlier today, and I think that is because of logistics, to be honest with you. We talked about, many people have talked about the lack of hotel rooms around Newton, et cetera, et cetera. So if it is a Sunday night race, then you have all day Sunday if you're traveling to get in there. And then it sounds like it's going to start early enough that you can get out of the track, drive a little bit, get to a hotel, and stay overnight if you're going to do that Sunday and drive back on Monday. So NASCAR knows what they're doing. They've done this for a long, long time. All racing racing events and racing series know what they're doing out there. I think that's why it's going to be a Sunday night race more than anything out there. But great, great news for the race fans and great news for the Iowa Speedway after all these years. I don't know if it's going to be a one-off or if it's going to be here forever. I think that is yet to be determined. But 2024, they're going to have a cup race in Newton.
Heck, you could very well hit the nail on the head as far as the reason. I'm not over the moon about a 6 o'clock race. If I'm living in Cedar Rapids or points eastward, of course, the Xfinity race the day before on June 15th, and then the cup race on the 16th. But if you're a NASCAR fan, you'll make it work.
You'll make it work, no doubt. We're going to make Cal Eldred. And make that work coming up next. He is going to join us to talk baseball as we are to the postseason. We'll do it when we return on the Jim Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and this will be the warmest we'll be for the rest of the week. Temperatures are going to be in the upper 80s, and clouds are then going to build in ahead of a cold front. That front will lead to a few showers overnight into early tomorrow morning. We'll then have cooler air that arrives, and temperatures will be in the upper 70s tomorrow, mid-70s on Thursday, and upper 50s on Friday and Saturday. Much cooler conditions will be settling in. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM radio for every vehicle act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Life is too short, but what makes it special? Those little moments that happen every day. Those big moments that take our breath away. But no matter the moment, you have to be healthy enough to make them. For women, that means watching our alcohol use as we age, because our bodies can't handle it like we used to. Let's put down the drink so we can savor the moments. Visit yourlifeiowa.org for more info. A message from Iowa HHS.
Circa Sports is live in Illinois. They partnered with New American Place in Waukegan, Illinois to bring retail over-the-counter betting way closer than Vegas. Stop by the grand opening tomorrow and meet Football Hall of Famer Brian Urlacher, Circa folks, and me, 1600 ESPN's Todd Brommelkamp.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Back back on the Gym Class 338 here on KGYM. Chris Liss joins us coming up tomorrow. May also talk some TCU football coming up tomorrow. I know that Isaac is busily working on that. Thursday, Mike Carmen is going to join us, and Scott Docterman as well. That'll be coming up on the Thursday edition of the program. Right now, we're going to talk some baseball as Cal Eldred joining us here. The postseason is now officially underway as they have moved to the top of the sixth inning, believe it or not, already between Tampa and Texas. That is an hour and 34 minutes. And they're in the top of the sixth inning, Cal. Hallelujah. Yeah,
I'm going to have to eat my popcorn faster. I mean, that's how it is. You're not going to have a lot of time. Make sure you know that you got a little more than 2.5 minutes to go to the bathroom in between for commercials, so, or whatever else you need to do, put the kids to bed, whatever it is. But it's moving right along, and it'd be faster if Tampa wouldn't be making so many miscues on the defensive side.
They are lucky to be down 2-0 right now. It's only 2-0 in the sixth. They got out of bases loaded, nobody out in the last inning with only giving up one run. So they're hanging in there, but it looks as though they're about ready to make a pitching change as Glasnow is coming out of the game.
Yeah, Glasnow, I mean, he was nasty. I mean, they needed 6+ from him today when you look at the full picture of if they end up playing 3 games. They would have gotten it from him more likely if they wouldn't have made some errors. Plus, like you said, Beasley stops Jonah Heim on a ball in the gap. I've seen him live. He's not very fast. He's their catcher. But that looked like one that he might have been able to score on or at least give him a chance because there were 2 outs.
Cal, we'll get to the rest of the series. I want to ask you about the rules under which these games are going to be played. And by and large, they are the same as the regular season, from the pitch clock to on and on and on, except for the ghost runner and extra innings. There is going to be extra innings, no man on second base. And I like the fact you play the postseason the same way you do the regular season, but I'm kind of torn on this. What do you like?
Well, you know, because we've gotten used to having that runner at second, when you start that 10th inning, what you've seen is games not continue to go on and on and on. You have 13, 14, 15, 16 inning games. And so we've gotten used to seeing that. And of course, now as a coaching staff or front office that puts the playoff rosters together, you look around and think, man, if we have to use our extra pitchers and we only carry, let's say, 12, like the Diamondbacks are doing, you could eat up a lot of pitching in a hurry. And that's, I understand this is a 3-game series right now, but that can still hurt you when you really need that arm. So but this is also going back to the way the game was played before. This gives, I think their idea is this is going to give the better team, the team with the better full roster, a chance to win the game. That's my thought process.
I agree. And I love the fact that these 3-1, 2-1, 3-2 games are not going to take 4 hours and 22 minutes to play.
I'm with you.
Yeah, it was just too long. It was just too long, and it just got so much more longer when you got in the postseason. In your opinion, we have ours, but wanted to ask you, of these four wild card matchups, which one do you think is the best?
Oh, wow. I think the one, to me, that's the tightest to decide who's going to win is between the Jays and the Twins. I know that makes you nervous, Mark, but the problem with the Twins, it's the fact that their injuries are still there. I know they're saying that Correa could be there, Lewis could be there, but I'm also – these guys haven't been in the game, and that's what's tough for them. And so that worries me, gives me a little concern about the Twins. Both teams have great pitching, but the other thing about the Jays is they don't hit very well at home, but they hit much better on the road. So I think when you look at this, to me, that's the most intriguing one. The one that should be the tightest And then, so I don't know if you guys think it's that way, but that's kind of where I'm at.
I certainly like the three home games if needed. I'm with you on Correa and Lewis. You don't really know what you're going to get because they've been out. But like so many of these series, you look at the starters. We've got Lopez, Gray, and Ryan for the Twins. Gausman, Barrios, and Bassett for Toronto. Man, it makes it difficult to pick.
It does. It's much like you look at these series and you're like, wow, that's some excellent pitching, and both teams have good bullpens. So for me that's the series. I don't know if Scott, you've got something else up your sleeve.
I think the two American. I mean, they're all good. They all stand on their own. I think Toronto, Texas is the one that intrigues me the most. Just because of all the star power, Texas, they've, by the way, just taken a 4-0 lead and still getting runs in down in Tampa. But those are two. I mean, Texas was one day away from having a bye in this situation. And Tampa, yeah, with the record that they put up, almost won 100 games this year. Nothing against the two National League series. I think they're going to be very good. I really like Milwaukee and Arizona. I think that's going to be a tremendous series. They're all good in their own way, but I think the one I'm watching right now, if I had to pick one, I'd say this would be the premier one in my eyes. I will ask you this, though, Cal. Pitching and defense always wins, especially in a short series, and you got to go with the teams, I think, that can throw out, like Mark said, that 1-2 punch especially. But even a solid third like that, you got to favor.
I do, and I'm with Mark. I like the fact that the Twins get to have three home games. But the Rays threw their big punch today with Glasnow for me. But do the flip side. I can not that I know this whole scenario – but I know what it's like to be in a city, you lose a game, you have to get on the airplane, and even during the regular season, you're going, man, we should have never lost that game. That was terrible, but you got to flip the page and turn over and get ready for the next series. You mentioned it, Mark, or Scott, the Rangers were in Seattle. They lose. They would have had days off now. Instead, they fly clear to Tampa and are playing a very, very tough team. And so it's and they didn't play well. So they've got something to prove. That would be why I would be so interested in this, because the Texas Rangers for a long time were the best team in baseball throughout this regular season.
Another thing that makes the Twins Toronto interesting, they were 3-3 during the regular season. So there is that. In terms of Arizona and Milwaukee, the big question is how much will the Brewers be hurt by Brandon Woodruff being out?
You know what? That to me, that's a blow to them, because they haven't had him, or he hasn't pitched well at times in the playoffs in the past, and they really needed him because I know their bullpen's really good, but they've had a few injury issues. Even Joel Piamps, who I was able to coach in Kansas City for a little while, he's had he's been really good, but he's kind of fallen back of late. But you know, whether it's a guy, you know, that means to me Burns and Peralta have to do the job. But the Diamondbacks are going to say, well, we have to go with the rookie. I'm not even completely sure how to say his last name. He's Brandon to me, but I think it's Fat Vat. And he's going to start game one tonight. But you got Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly going behind him. So they're sitting pretty good. I think losing Woodruff really hurts. But, you know, the Diamondback offense has not been good lately. They just have not.
Cal Elder joining us here at 3:48 on a wild card edition of the Jim Class on KGYM as the wild card series are underway. Which of these wild card teams has the best chance to knock somebody off and upset them in the second round?
Who? I think you're looking at it's at the series you're looking at, I think. Scott, when you think Texas could do it, the Rays could do it, there's no question in my mind, because they have been good. They really have. But I guess I'm looking at that and I kind of discount the fact that the Phillies are a wild card team because of what they did last year. They were actually in the Marlins position last year. So the Phillies are a really good team. There's no doubt that of these teams, they're the team, the wild card team, that has the most experience and probably in some way, shape, and form, the most to prove.
If it wasn't
Miami's got a lot of injury issues too.
They do. And if it wasn't the Phillies playing the Dodgers or the Braves, I would go with the Phillies. But I just, those two teams are so loaded. I just don't know if anybody is going to prevent a Braves, Dodgers, NLCS.
Well, and that's why I say that you can take the Rangers and the Rays, and they can beat the Houston Astros. You know, that Baltimore's young. You're not for sure what you're going to get from this team when the lights come on in the playoffs. So I think the American League, to a certain extent, is wide open. But I do agree with you guys, man. The winner of the Marlins and the Phillies, the Marlins having injury problems, losing Alcantara, one of their starting pitchers, Jorge Soler being the DH, coming back, not having that many at-bats. It's been tough for the Marlins. They've really – they were 33-13 in one-run games during the season, so they're used to playing tight games. But they still have a young pitching staff, and they got to face a really good Phillies team. Whoever comes out of that, you guys are right. Both of these – whether it's the Diamondbacks, the Brewers, the Marlins, or the Phillies, you got the Dodgers and the Braves waiting, which is going to be a tall task.
Cal, I wanted to ask you about the passing of Tim Wakefield at a very young age of 57. I know that during your career, you opposed him more than once. I don't know how well you knew Tim, but a little research that I did, you guys were on the hill opposite sides at least more than a couple games.
Yeah, you know, Tim and I were basically rookies at pretty much the same time. And his story being so unique, being a position player, changing to pitching and throwing a knuckleball, and you could tell he was so athletic. And there were so many people that Tim played with that I knew. We felt like we had been teammates at one point in time. And so you see something like that happen. You see what a great career he had. He meant so much on and off the field to the city of Boston and the people around that ball club and that organization. So it's sad to hear. You pray for his family, and you know the game of baseball. There's a lot of good people in it, but when you lose someone like Tim Wakefield, there's a gap left.
Yeah, certainly the case. And being a knuckleballer, we just don't see that anymore. I mean, it takes a certain type of pitcher to throw a knuckleball. We know that. Why isn't that developed anymore? I mean, it's so easy. It's easier on your arm. We know that. It's hard. Is it because it's hard to catch?
I think there's a couple things. And I think about Tim was somebody who wanted to play in the big leagues, and he was somebody that really, really worked at his craft. And I think if you're going to throw a knuckleball, you have to be that kind of guy. And Tim was a good athlete, and he worked really hard. And people are going, knuckleball guy, just stands up there and flips the ball. No, he worked really hard. I mean, there's another guy that I think of that I played with, Steve Sparks, who threw a knuckleball, got himself to the big leagues that way. We were teammates in the minor leagues in Milwaukee. And these guys have the same types of personalities, guys. Both of them were right-handed. Both of them acted like left-handers half the time. Very funny guys, but they had guts. I mean, they were willing to stand there and go, here's my 85, here's my 83 on occasion, and I'm going to try to get it past you. But they were willing. You have to really, really believe that what you're throwing is going to work. You have to work at it because it's not easy. But these guys are gutsy people. I mean, that's how I would explain a guy like Tim Wakefield.
you're...
Yeah, it's a lot of times it's a guy who doesn't have a fastball to make it to the major leagues. And then there's a guy like Phil Niekro, Hall of Famer, who had some little extra things on his side.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. I don't know where Tim stood with that, or even my friend Steve Sparks. But man, I'll tell you, I love it when they show slow motion video of those guys throwing a pitch to the plate, because it's amazing what they can make a ball do.
Especially when it was working.
No doubt.
The catcher didn't know where it was going. So,
anyway. No.
Hey, real quick, who are your picks to move on in the four wild cards?
Well, I think the Brewers will take care of business at home against the Diamondbacks. But I do say that I think that's going to be a good series. The Diamondbacks have a lot of speed there. I think the Phillies are going to take care of the young Marlins, but this is a great experience for Skip Schumacher and his Miami, or the Miami Marlins. And I also think I think the Rangers will get it done on the road, but I think the Twins will get it done at home.
All right, there you go. We'll talk again next week, and we'll be into the divisional round at that point. So enjoy the baseball, Cal. Thanks.
You bet. Enjoy it.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Come back with more after this in the Gym Class KGYM.
Save 11% on your next exterior project at Menards. Keep your home looking clean and beautiful with Dutch Boy paints. DuraClean paint provides a weather-resistant coating with crack and fade resistance. Get a gallon starting at $32.89 after rebate. Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through October 8th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Stay ahead of the game with the WagerWise podcast on KGYMradio.com. Presented by Betfred Sportsbook.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Back with you on the Gym Class on KGYM, Scott Unash, and a very happy Mark Dukes.
Yeah, there's no rust on Royce Lewis. Two-run homer, bottom of the first, Twins up 2-0.
Good crowd, by the way, at Target Field on a Tuesday afternoon as well to take this in. I'm just about a full house other than way up top in left field, but Royce Lewis gets the fishing vest. And he's ready to go. 2-0 Twins, 4-0 Texas. Spencer will keep you updated on the two American League wild card game ones that will go on from 4 until 6. He'll have audio as well with Kirk Ferentz and players. Talk about what Matt Campbell had to say as well over in Ames again today. Tomorrow, we will talk to Chris Liss of Real Man Sports and talk fantasy football with Chris. Perhaps talk a little TCU football coming up as well. We are kind of 50-50 on that. And then more football coming up on Thursday. Cycle Coaches Show tonight from 6:30 until 8. And then we'll jump into game one of the series between the Philadelphia Phillies and the Miami Marlins. We'll join that just about an hour into the ball game. Game one of that series coming up tonight from Citizens Bank Ballpark. All right, Mark, if you're wearing throwbacks today, you are in bad shape so far. Toronto and their baby blue throwbacks. Devil Ray throwbacks, they're both not working today, but it's a long way to go. Enjoy the baseball, Mark, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
I will indeed. Talk then.
All right. Spencer on Sports coming your way next right here on KGYM. Have a great night, everybody. We will talk with you tomorrow on the Gym Class at 3.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances if you owe over $10,000 in back taxes?